it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, I am inspired. After watching both Nick Foles and Tyler Bray play quarterback for the Bears last night, I feel like anything's possible today.
Yeah, just got an eyeful of some Tyler Bray there right before the show. It's like,
isn't that the best way to start a show?
That's like get pumped music.
I legitimately had no clue that Tyler Bray was still in the league. Don't really know how he got there to begin with, but I had no clue he's still there.
And he may be the Bears starter this week.
Oh, I am here for
it. Can you imagine?
They're bad. They're not very good.
How have they won five games this year?
I don't know, their defense.
Well, the Lions gave them one. The Falcons gave them one, right?
Yes.
The Falcons gave everybody a win. Here's a win,
well,
Cowboys.
Nick Foles came in against the Falcons and looked like,
that's right,
you know, that one game every year Nick Foles looks good? That was the Falcons game.
Meanwhile, everybody can shut up about Kirk Cousins. He got the win. Kirk Cousins was really good last night.
He's fired up last night, too.
Can we be fair and honest and objective about Kirk Cousins? That's a good defense. He tore them up. He tore them up.
I tell you what, Justin Jefferson looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, he is. The Titans know that. He's going to be good. Thielen gave the Bears a free, you know, interception, and still, that's a team that's going to come up in the NFC and maybe get a wild card, which is crazy. Think about how bad they were earlier.
Yeah. How about former Vol, Cordarrelle Patterson, returns one of the house last night. His eighth of his career, ties the NFL record.
Incredible.
That dude in college was unbelievable.
The Bears had more yards on special teams last night than they did on offense.
Yes, they did.
Mike Zimmer was really mad about, I guess, kicking to him. He was screaming at his special teams coach after that touchdown. That's pretty crazy. One franchise, because obviously I know he's been other places, but, you know, Devin Hester, one of the greatest returners we've ever seen, which also for some years was their best offense.
Well, it's interesting. Like, you talk about Mike Zimmer. Like, could the special teams coach retroactively go back to the Seattle game and yell at Zimmer for decisions he made?
He should.
He
should all still be mad at him, because there's one game he just said, here you go.
Take it. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
They might.
They're 4-5. The NFC, it's not great. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
With some cupcakes coming up.
Yeah, they got Jags.
Cowboys.
Jags, Cowboys, Panthers. I know they get one more against those Lions. So I got 9 right there. Or no, I'm sorry. That's 8. Sorry. You know.
Yeah.
It's 6-0. It's 6-0-3.
That's some Climax Michigan math right there? Population 784, by the way.
Which is more than hell.
Yeah, hell only has 70 people.
I really didn't know. I didn't know that hell only has 70
hell,
people.
Hell, Michigan, 70 people. There are some signs in hell as well that people like to take pictures next to.
Oh,
I'm not sure they steal those signs.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm sure they do.
Okay.
I haven't looked up Bad Axe, though. I want to look up the population of Bad Axe. That's an underrated. Let's not forget Bad Axe. That's a pretty good name.
That's pretty good.
Actually, Bad Axe's population is 2945.
See, that feels like somebody named that town like they just went up to like a 16-year-old high school kid and they're like, hey, what do you want to call this town? Let's call it Bad Axe.
Yeah.
Creative. I like it. Look, I'm all for the state of Michigan. Are they a state? Commonwealth? How do you define Michigan?
Just a regular old state.
Okay, regular state.
Yep. It's not like Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I used to live in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
What is the difference between a state and a commonwealth?
You know, I used to know this.
I don't know it. That's why I'm asking.
I mean, it's just...
Let's go back to history class.
Yeah, we're going to answer that question before the show's over.
What is the difference between a state or a commonwealth? Let us know on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A newsworthy day yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. Some good? Some not so good. And we'll start with the not so good. COVID back in the Titans locker room. David Long put on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday. Now, Joe, the good news is, according to the statement released by the Titans, contact tracing was done on David Long, and it was deemed still okay to have the facility open. So a different situation than last time around. But not good news to have another player on the COVID-19 reserve list.
Right. So they the two moves that are announced, they put David Long on the COVID list. Like you said, they put out a statement and said because of the contact tracing, because of the statement said because of the results of the contact tracing, they won't close the facility. So, yeah, he's out, obviously, which is a hit to the linebacker depth. And it's still something to monitor this week.
David Long, flashbacks. Last year against Baltimore, I thought was awesome that playoff game.
He was huge.
Yeah.
Jayon Brown was out.
Yeah.
With a shoulder,
yeah.
And David Long stepped up big time, yes. And then, of course, they designate Darrington Evans for return. So some good news on that front. It's same thing, just like with Adoree Jackson. So he's got 3 weeks to be activated. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's active this week, but he's designated.
Right, and that's obviously good news for the Titans because, it's in the limited, and I mean very limited action that we've seen out of Darrington Evans. I've liked the change of pace that he brings to the table with Derrick Henry. We hadn't been able to see enough of it because he's been hurt the whole time. So getting him back, getting him healthy, and then hopefully keeping him healthy so you have some idea of what you're working with there, I think pretty important down the second half of this season too.
Yeah, I think that, McNichols has done a good job. I mean,
I agree.
McNichols done everything and more that you would have asked for a guy that you just sort of brought back in a pinch. He's pretty good in terms of pass protection. He's run the ball pretty well. Foreman has sort of given him that interesting second hammer thing. But I do think Darrington Evans was in the plans to be involved, not just as like the third down back, but actually as a part of the running game, as a change of pace. And I think he's got a lot of ability. So we'll see if there's a big step up from what McNichols gives you. And even, if he's good enough to where, maybe Foreman kind of steps back a little bit. I like the idea of here's another power back for you here and there. It's good to have him around, but the plan was to have Darrington Evans really involved in this offense. And this offense could use something.
And let's be honest, I mean, John Robinson could use a draft pick right now coming in and contributing. That would be great for him as well
at some point. That's true, too.
Would be nice to have that. As far as the COVID news is concerned, it was refreshing to see that the contact tracing done by the Titans in the NFL, I guess, has led to a point where they feel comfortable staying in the location, in the facility. But every time you see some news like this now, whether it's with the Titans or any other team around the league, you just kind of cross your fingers. I know I did yesterday and think, okay, please, let's not go through this again. There's a football game on Sunday I'd really like to see played. Let's not go through all that again. I don't want it to be looking for Tom Pelissero tweets at 7:30 every morning.
I was just going to say, I'm probably be drifting over here and checking out Pelissero in a little bit. It's interesting how it's kind of changed the last few weeks. Because the virus is going nuts right now.
Yeah.
I think, 4 or 5 games already on the college front. Maybe I'm low on that now.
Six.
But yesterday, yeah. Six? Okay, there you go.
Including Ole Miss, Texas A&M.
Yeah, already gone.
Yeah.
And more to come there. And but the NFL has – it's almost like a shift in approach. But we've seen positives pop up around the league and games continue. So we'll see. Obviously, you hope for just no more news on that front. David Long's been isolated and you move forward.
Yeah, and obviously – you hope he's able to recover as quickly as possible and get back in there and play. And then you look ahead to this game on Sunday. How does that affect the Titans at a position where, I think they need all the bodies they can get. Jayon Brown's been great as of late. Rashawn Evans, I still think there's another level that he needs to get to, except on the goal line when apparently he's like the best player in the NFL. I've never seen anything like it. Like Rashawn Evans on the goal line is unbelievable. Or 4th and 1.
You put him in a goal line situation, you put him in here's a short little area and just go blow that guy up. He's a monster. But yeah, there's been some big plays this year that it looks like he's misreading or, getting caught in the wash. I thought there'd be more from him this year. Like a lot of guys in that defense.
Yeah. And you wonder how it all working in concert together is affecting even guys like that. And it's just interesting to look at this defense. I was looking at it yesterday and looking at each individual player and just the talent that you know that they have, and you just leave yourself kind of sitting around wondering, how are they this bad? Rashawn Evans, I think, is a good player. Jayon Brown's a good player. They've got a lot of players on the line of scrimmage, defensive line, outside linebackers that I think are good players. I just don't know how it's this bad.
Yeah.
That's been the mystifying thing to try to figure out.
I mean, I go back to, the line of scrimmage, if you get beat, and I know Jeffrey Simmons has been great, and Daquan Jones was really good, has been good lately too, but I think it's the line of scrimmage that they are not controlling like they used to, that they did for years.
Yep.
And I think there's one big piece who has been moved out, who was a big part of that over the years, and Jarrell Casey. But I think when things go wrong there, then it gets harder for everybody else. I mean, Byard to me, not to make excuses for anyone, but he's not making the plays he normally makes. And I think that it's a direct result of everything around him right now.
Let's go back to Darrington Evans real quickly. I think this is an interesting question because you brought up Jeremy McNichols. Do you think when Evans comes back, whenever that is, whether it's this game, which is doubtful, but moving ahead here, does he automatically slide back into number two, or is McNichols that guy right now? I think he's played pretty well.
Yeah, that's a good question. A big part of that answer is, do they feel great about Evans right now on 3rd and 8 when he's got to pick up a blitzer? I don't know.
I don't know.
A lot of times rookies, you don't necessarily feel great about that. So I could see a scenario where they're both active in games. I mean, you have to take away from something else to do that, but obviously I think if he's able to do that part of it, then I think they'll ride with him, and that'll probably be it for McNichols.
Which is a shame because he's averaging like 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, they've popped some runs, with him. And, he's played well. The thing about McNichols, maybe they just haven't gone to it a lot, but he doesn't seem to be a great pass catcher.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just what they've done. But Evans, I know, is a guy they want to get involved in that way.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, just the name alone is the difference between state and Commonwealth. So nothing major there.
Yes, thank you. You just scooped me. I was gonna end the segment with that. I've done a lot of Googling.
Have you?
Do you know what? And that's all it is. It's just basically what they were called when they first were, founded.
Well, Commonwealth is much fancier. Incorporated.
Yeah. So do you know the four Commonwealths?
Pennsylvania, Virginia. I don't know the rest. Kentucky?
There you go.
Okay, so three.
I knew those. I would not have known the fourth.
Delaware?
Good guess. You're in a better area.
Maryland?
Vermont.
Now you're getting close. Massachusetts. Okay. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
I can't remember.
I don't hear people refer to it. Commonwealth of Kentucky. Yeah. You hear those. So there it does. It just sounds fancier. That's really what it is.
In Tennessee, rather be a state or a Commonwealth?
The Commonwealth.
If there's not
of
really
Tennessee,
a difference.
It just doesn't,
Sound right.
It doesn't go together.
Like the Commonwealth of Virginia sounds
yeah,
right
it does.
To me.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. No, I think, you'd rather be a state, right?
I guess.
I mean, Commonwealth is just one of those old words, like colonial.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, but I think state's better.
When we come back, has Mike Vrabel lost confidence in a key member of the Titans? Some comments yesterday lead me to believe, maybe so. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. Our man Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, will join us at 6:30. So looking forward to getting into the Titans and Ravens matchup with him. But first, Joe, still some order of business to take care of. I said last Friday on the show, I've seen enough of Steven Gostkowski. It's time to move on. 12 of 20, 60%. That's just not getting the job done. You got a worse percentage kicking the ball than your quarterback has a completion percentage, which means your quarterback is either really, really, really amazing or you're not very good at kicking field goals. Maybe both in this case. But not very good so far from Steven Gostkowski.
Yeah, 60 is not good.
60 is not good whatsoever. So the question now is, all right, are the Titans going to continue to ride it out with Gostkowski? How much confidence does the coaching staff still have in Gostkowski? Mike Vrabel was asked about that yesterday and the kicking situation regarding Steven Gostkowski. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Plan this week to stick with Steven as your kicker, or is there a plan for a new kicker?
As of today, right now, you know, we have one on the practice squad. You know, we've got, you know, DeVecchio on the practice squad who's kicking. You know, but as of Monday at 10:36, you know, Steven would be our kicker as of right now.
So some interesting comments there by Mike Vrabel. As of 10:36 yesterday morning, Steven Goskowski would be the kicker.
A ringing endorsement.
Which is very different than what we've heard from Vrabel earlier this year. Was basically when he's asked about Goskowski, I think of the Denver game and a couple of times since then, that, you know, Steven's our kicker. We've got confidence that he'll make the next one. Have you noticed a shift in Vrabel's answer when it comes to Goskowski? And if so, what does that tell you about where his confidence level may be right now?
Yeah, it's definitely a shift, right? I mean, that was a very, you know, sort of dismissive. I mean, you can easily read into that and say, okay. But I'm also hesitant to read too much into it because he, you know, he might have just been doing that. I mean, I'm not saying to mess with us, but just because he's being asked, he's so sick of being asked, he's like, yeah, as of right now, today, he's our kicker. That could be it. I heard Jared yesterday, you know, basically like, I think maybe going too far in interpreting that. And I get it. It sounds like just a very – it sounds like a guy who's about to get cut or switched out. I just – you know, I don't know. I don't know that I'm ready to go there with that. But it definitely sounds different. To answer your question, we could go back and listen to some stuff he said before in terms of endorsing Goskowski after bad performances, and that's a lot stronger than that.
Right. And we talked about maybe the possibility of bringing in a free agent kicker for this game on Sunday against Baltimore. That did not happen yesterday. Does not look like that can happen now for the game, at least against Baltimore. Now, you can do that moving forward. But the Baltimore game, the free agent route, do the COVID protocols that you'd have to clear, that's not going to happen this time around.
It's either going to be – yeah, it's got to be someone on the team now. So it's him. There's Giorgio Tavecchio, like he said. Now, Tucker McCann is on the injured list, and I don't know what his injury is, but as of now, he's on the injured list. So I guess it's Giorgio or Steven.
Great options. And to that point, let's go to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Who would you prefer to be kicking field goals for the Titans this Sunday at Baltimore? Steven Goskowski, Tucker McCann, Giorgio Tavecchio. Right now, 45 votes. Giorgio Tavecchio leading the way at 40%. Steven Goskowski at 31%. Tucker McCann, 29%. My guy Giorgio in the early lead, Joe. Your reaction?
I mean, hey, I understand the desire to change from Goskowski. I totally do. If I were making this decision... I mean, hey, I guess they'll go by practice, right? I mean, they went by practice for one day and switched out the punter, and that worked out
well. That worked
out
pretty well.
I just, if I were making this decision between Goskowski and Tavecchio, I think I'd stick with Goskowski.
Tavecchio, career 80% in the National Football League. 21 for 26.
Is 80% better than 60?
I believe so. When I... was taught math in elementary school, I was told that 80% is a higher percentage than 60%.
Yes. So 26 attempts. And by the way, the last time he was in the NFL, I guess he was with the Falcons in 18 for a little bit.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
The Falcons pickups worked out. Hey.
He's also, he has had the championship pedigree of playing with the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yes. So.
You can also throw Raiders, Packers, Niners in there.
Yes.
Bounced around. His last team apparently here was the Los Angeles Wildcats of Vince McMahon's new XFL.
Oh.
Hey, look, I understand the idea that it's pretty close here with Goskowski. Given these options, I'm rolling with him another day. That's me.
Tavecchio's lead in the poll question, dwindling by the second. Is now it? At 38%, Goskowski at 34%. This is going to be a close one. This is a good poll question.
Tavecchio, in his career against the Baltimore Ravens, is 1-for-1 on field goals.
That's 100.
And 2-for-2 on extra points.
Wow.
100 is better than 60 and 80.
Yes.
By my understanding.
Learning. Very informal math segment here today.
We've got Commonwealths and states, and we've got some good math going on. Yeah, so I'm trying to find his full breakdown of his NFL career here. Yeah, you know, he with the Falcons there, with the Raiders in 17, he was 5 for 5.
See?
So.
I don't think Tavecchio's been given a fair shot.
I don't think he has either. This guy needs to be given more opportunity.
A lot of teams have looked at him. A lot of teams have seen him. You know, he seems like one of those guys who just isn't quite consistent enough. And it's like, you know, you see some talent and then he moves on to the next place, the next place. Very hard. You got to be really, really good to stick in one place and be a starting kicker in this league. Maybe this guy has figured something out. You know, maybe every day out there he is just banging everything right down the middle and it's his time to get a shot. But based on everything I'm seeing here, boy, you could so easily see the move to Tavecchio and then the cost of that on Sunday.
You know what else I could easily see happening on Sunday? Sticking with Gostkowski and he missing a 35-yard field goal to send you to overtime.
Yeah, that's possible too.
I think that's maybe likely is the word.
By the way, so Santos, great last night.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to keep the running counter of the I got to come up with a name for them too, the terrific trio that the Titans
the three musketeers.
Yeah, that they're all dominating the NFL this year.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, "Please tell me that Ryan Allen will be punting on Sunday." What's going on with Brett Kern? How long is he supposed to be out?
So, well, he got put on IR.
Right.
So that's a 3-weeker, right?
Yes. And it's been, I guess, 1 technically. Now 2. 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. Miss Bears
yeah.
and
right. he, yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah. Colts. Yeah, so I suppose then, yeah, this would be the last game possibly. Doesn't mean that he's definitely coming back off that, but I guess it's possible that he could come back for the game at Indianapolis.
Yeah.
That would be timely for them.
I'm going to guess Trevor Daniels not the punter on Sunday. That's just my guess.
Yeah. I'm going to guess it's going to be Ryan Allen.
Yeah.
But, hey, practice is practice. Practice is important.
I mean, if Trevor Daniel has a great week of practice.
He could. Yeah, you're right. I'm discounting his practice ability.
By the way, when I was at home Friday afternoon, there was a FedEx truck that drove by. I can neither confirm nor deny that Trevor Daniel was driving said FedEx truck.
Okay. Did you get a look at the driver?
No. It
would
was
you
pretty
know
quick.
What, if you did, would you know what Trevor Daniel looked like?
No, okay. I wouldn't.
Okay.
But if you got a look at him, then you could have Googled, you know, and be like, oh.
I was more than 17 faces. Yards away from him, so I didn't know. Ooh. I couldn't pick him out.
Still a little bitter.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I mean, he's still on the roster, right? I mean, like, they've got Daniel and Allen both as options.
Yeah.
We're looking at a big practice week battle, I guess.
And both special teams.
Yeah.
Kicking and punting.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in, do you guys think Gostkowski can hook one to the left? He seems like a golfer that hits everything to the right. Seems like something should be able to fix that.
He's definitely – he's like me on the golf course. He's a slicer.
Slicer.
A little bit of a slicer. Yeah, I want to say he hooked one of those that he missed in Denver. I thought he was like, wasn't he like all over the place in Denver?
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, for the most part, that's true. He seems to be.
I mean, the Pittsburgh one was wide right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pushing them when he's missing them.
Which, so. That's the thing. You're talking about an older guy, and he's not like ancient by any means. But
thank you, Robbie.
Yeah, no problem. But when you're a kicker and you've been in the league for a while, the thing you start to worry about is the distance part of it, right? And distance-wise, he's fine. But it's the pushing everything to the right, the, I guess, erraticness, I just made that word up, of his play. That's the head-scratching part to me is I would think with the injury that he had and the age that he is right now that maybe distance would be the first thing to go, and it hasn't been.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to – I mean, that job and being that precise at this level – it's all mental. All these positions are to some extent, but I feel like it is kind of like a golfer, you know, and if you just get a little bit off and lose a little bit of confidence, you know, then it's got to be perfect. You got that muscle memory and all that and years of doing it, but still, it's still upstairs, you know? So I mean, he's done the sock thing and on and off and all that. And it's just – it's strange because, again, in the last game, 50-yarder, boom, you know, right down the pipe. So it's not like it's always a problem, but it, you have to just be at a higher percentage than this. I just could very, very easily see yet another chapter in the Titans kicking carousel follies if Giorgio Tavecchio trots out there Sunday in Baltimore.
Giorgio Tavecchio in our poll question at 102.5 The Game, back up to a 40% lead here on this poll question.
He's about 20% away from Gostkowski's kicking
percentage. He's getting close. Getting close. Not a high bar to clear there for Tavecchio. But we'll see how this poll question goes the rest of the show. I'm going to call my shot now. I think Tavecchio wins. I think by the time we're done on the show today, Tavecchio is in the lead.
Are you also calling the shot that Tavecchio's kicking Sunday?
I'm not gonna do that.
No?
No.
Okay.
You were adamant.
I've called
last
my
Friday.
Shot. I've called my shot already that it's Gostkowski. I called it last week.
Well, good for you.
I'm just telling you, I want it out there. I'll gladly take the L if I'm wrong. I mean, I think Vrabel's comments were, I mean, I couldn't help but notice, like 10:36 right at this moment.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, is he gonna be that obvious if they actually are gonna move on from him? You know what I mean?
Because he doesn't tell you anything.
It might be reverse psychology.
Yeah, like, Vrabel never says anything. So the fact that he would, like, say something like that if a move was coming doesn't add up to me,
like,
based on his history.
Like, the last time that he really said anything before a kicker was moved on was when he said they have full confidence in Cairo Santos, and then they cut him the next day.
Yes.
I don't even remember if he said anything about Parkey, you know, but... So he didn't get. I'd just be surprised if Vrabel decides to give hints right now to something that they're actually going to do.
Right. When we come back, we'll dive into the Titans Ravens matchup with our man Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be right back with Floyd Reese. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the big matchup this weekend between the Titans and the Ravens. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM. Floyd, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing wonderful. And Floyd, I wanted to start off and get your perspective on this, because I remember as a young kid what the rivalry between the Titans and the Ravens was like back in the early 2000s, and quite honestly, I don't know if we're ever going to see anything quite like it again, just because of how different the league is right now. But kind of take me back to that time. What was it like when the Titans were getting ready to play the Ravens that week? What was the vibe like? What was that rivalry like in your mind?
I mean, it was gigantic, of course. You know, here both teams were usually in a playoff spot, and, you know, you're battling for home field advantage, you're battling for bragging rights, you're battling for... you know, all of the above, and they were a really good team, and we weren't bad, and so I think, you know, rivalries, at least in my opinion, are driven by the physicality of the games, and when you played in those games, I mean, it was bloodletting, and everybody knew that, and everybody accepted that, and, you know, that was just part of the game. But because it was so physical on both sides, that, you know, it led to even more, because it was more. You wanted to win, of course. You wanted to increase your chances of making it to the Super Bowl, all of the above. But it was also like a test of manhood. You know, you went out there, and it was going to be tough, and you knew it was going to be tough. And usually those games boil down to, you know, one team maybe losing it as much as the other winning it, you know, missing a field goal, having a field goal blocked, you know, an interception, any of those kinds of things, a single play, you know, among 150 snaps or whatever it is would often determine the outcome of the game.
And you mentioned, Floyd, kind of the nastiness of that rivalry and just how tough those games were. How much of that was kind of personified by Ray Lewis on their side, Eddie George on your side, and just how emotional those two guys were in the way they played the game?
Yeah, they were both really, really physical, really, really competitive, never, ever shied away from the inevitable contact. You know, those middle linebacker and running back, during a game are going to butt heads several times. And neither one of those guys would back down. I mean, it was fun to watch and fun to be a part of simply because, you know, we didn't lose every time. We didn't win every time. And so whenever you saw the collision coming, it was kind of like, okay, what's going to happen now? We'll wait and see. And like I said, it probably worked out to about 50-50, but it was always fun to watch.
Okay, Floyd, we've been talking about the kicking situation, of course, this morning. And I know you love these questions when I say, if you're John Robinson right now, Floyd, but I'm going to throw it at you. You've got Giorgio Tavecchio on the practice squad. Basically, at this point, you know, the free agent route is not happening this week. So it's basically Gostkowski or it's Giorgio Tavecchio, who doesn't have much of a track record, has a pretty good track record in bouncing around from teams. What are you doing? How are you going through this decision-making process?
You know, I'm looking at it, you know, as we said last week, as similar to the punting situation. You know, the devil you know is, in my opinion, better than the devil you don't know. And I don't want to get back into the kicking carousel. And, you know, last year you can go back through and you can blame this game on that kicker and this game on another kicker and, you know, throughout the list. I mean, we're not at that point in time anymore. And so I think you're kind of, at least in my mind, at least you know what you have. You know, you're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber kicker against anybody else. And whereas there are a lot of people who say, well, I'd rather, you know, try the anything else, I'm kind of the other way. I would kind of like, okay, I want to know, you know, have an idea of what I have versus let's wait and see. Because in my opinion, especially when it comes to special teams, you know, the one you don't know, he's out there for a reason. You know, let's face it. And what you don't know may cost you a game this weekend. And you know, you're not in a position you can afford that any longer.
Former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Floyd, I want to get your thoughts on Lamar Jackson. Obviously, we know how gifted he is, won the league MVP a year ago, but has not had the same season, at least from a statistical standpoint, so far this year. And there's even been talk around the league of maybe defenses figuring him and that offense out. When you watch Lamar Jackson play this year, what do you see, and do you think that teams around the league are figuring him out?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt but that teams in the league are what they think figuring him out. You know, this is what I think we can do to stop him. I thought it was interesting this weekend when they played New England how, for example, you know, the first instinct for everybody is, oh, we got to put a bunch of pressure on him and we got to knock the quarterback down. They kind of went the other way. You know, they went with some three-man rushes, relying on contain, keeping him in the pocket, not overrunning him so that you have big lanes in front of him, and forcing him to throw from the pocket. Or if he was going to run, he was going to run into a group of people. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how teams kind of defend him from now on, because it's not the same as it was. I think even his game, I think he, in the back of his mind, is maybe hanging in there a little bit longer saying, you know, I want to be a pocket passer. I want to be a throwing quarterback like the rest of these guys. I don't want to be known only as a runner. And to be honest, just judging from the New England game, I'm not sure that's helping him. But I think he's trying, and they're trying to kind of gradually work him out of that, which we've seen with dozens and dozens of other scrambling, running-type quarterbacks. At a point in time, everybody wants to kind of try to fit him back into, okay, you're a pocket passer, you need to be able to do these things, and that's probably not their forte.
With this Titans defense, Floyd, we've been trying to figure out, you know, if there's one thing that, you know, maybe you could improve or fix about it that's realistic right now, given the situation, given the personnel, you know, and certainly, you know, a Dory Jackson coming back should help if and when he does. But if there's one area of that defense that you would like to see guys we know can play better than this improve, what would it be?
It would be the corners and getting Adoree and getting Fulton and getting all of these guys back and able to play. You know, just getting them on the field. I mean, I think we've had one game all year long, maybe more, but not many games where we've had all three receivers, and we've had zero games where we've had all three corners. In fact, I don't think we've had a game where we've had two of the three corners. You know, it's always one and a couple of, okay, who's going to fill this spot kind of guys. So it would be nice, in my opinion, just to be able to get back. Give me the three receivers, my guys that we're going to count on from day one, and give me the three corners or four corners now, maybe with the addition of King give me those guys. Let me play them the way I want, and let's go ahead and see how this thing works out.
Floyd, I want to get your thoughts on something because I kind of threw this idea out there yesterday, and I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but, you know, obviously the guys on the Titans, they're going to say the right things. They're going to talk about playing complimentary football. But guys on offense, I mean, they're not stupid. They see what happens on the other side of the ball on defense and what a struggle it's been all season long. And they know that they're going to have to score a lot of points in these games in order to win. Do you think that could be draining for an offense going out and playing and knowing that you're going to have to score almost every time to give yourself a chance to win? How draining can that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think over a period of time, it can be draining, because you're going out and you're thinking, okay, if we can score 24, we're going to be okay. And then all of a sudden, the opponent has 27. So now you're saying, uh-oh, yeah, we got to get 31. And we got to, constantly. There has to be a point in time where something comes back to you. And we saw this with King, a couple weeks ago. We picks up the fumble and runs it in for a touchdown. All of a sudden, it's, wow, okay, now we're back on. We got some points out of the defense or out of the special teams. But it's, I think over a period of time, unless you're Kansas City, unless you've got that offense, I think it's different. But we don't have that. We've got a good offense, and we've got an offense that can score points. It's always a matter of, how many do I have to score and how many more do I have to score? And I think over a period of time, you do that for 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in a row, and all of a sudden it's, wow, I don't know if we can do this again. So it can be draining. It can be an issue, and that's why I think we've suffered so with the complementary football aspect because, even if the offense is good, playing the way it was the early part of the year, then the defense is struggle. And now we're to the point where you say, okay, if the defense is just okay, the defense plays okay and maybe gets a turnover or two, you're going to be okay. Oh, wait a minute now, what about special teams? Can we kick it through the uprights? Can we get the punt off? Can we do, cover the kick? And so they're just, I think, so many areas out there that in the back of your mind you're thinking, can we do this, that it becomes a problem, and it can get heavy, heavy, heavy.
Former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Floyd, appreciate you joining us, man. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I feel smarter now. I threw that idea out there yesterday, and Floyd didn't just crumble it up and throw it in the trash.
Yeah, well, again, it's interesting to think of that and, again, think of last year. I mean, at least, the guys on this team, they know both sides of it,
yeah.
Right?
So that's for sure.
There should be some empathy there.
When we come back, there's one part of the Titans-Ravens matchup that I don't think we'll ever see again. I'll tell you what I'm talking about on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. We brought this up with Floyd in the last segment. I look at this game between the Titans and the Ravens, and obviously you think back to the playoff game a year ago. You think back to a lot of games of Titans-Ravens, whether it's been in the playoffs, in the regular season when they were in the same division in the AFC Central, which no longer exists. But I think back to early 2000s Titans and Ravens football when I was a kid, when the Titans were just getting going here in Nashville, and just what a rivalry that was. And obviously, what comes to mind is 2000. The Titans are 13-3. They're the number one seed in the AFC, and Baltimore comes in here and rips their heart out in the divisional round, goes on and wins the Super Bowl that year. You think back to 08. Baltimore essentially does the same thing. They come in here and win the divisional round and send the Titans packing that year. There was a game, I think it was either 02 or 03, where the Titans went on the road and won. Gary Anderson game-winning field goal in Baltimore. I mean, there have been some great moments in the playoffs between these two teams. But the rivalry back then, when you think about Jeff Fisher and Brian Billick and Steve McNair, Eddie George, Ray Lewis, Derek Mason on both sides of it, there was just a nastiness to it. I think a pure hatred that these two teams had for each other. And it was just different. I'm not sure that today's NFL lends itself to the same type of hatred, the same type of rivalry that was. And I think Floyd's point was, you know, those games were so physical, sometimes borderline like assault out there, that just not really is the way the game is played anymore. But I'm just not sure we'll ever see another Titans rivalry quite like the one of the early 2000s Ravens, just based on the pure hatred and the physicality that went with it.
Well, the game certainly won't be like that. It is. I don't know if you ever watch full games from, you know, it's different, man.
Much different.
Like, the physicality is very different. And you go back further and go back to, like, the 80s and stuff. The things that people were allowed to do to quarterbacks, it's incredible, really. Just like clotheslining them, you know, like 10 seconds after throw the ball. It's incredible.
It's like NFL blitz out there.
Yeah. So, like, stuff like that ought to be the same. But it seems like that rivalry was just so much about the personalities, especially of Lewis and Eddie George, right? I mean, so that's really the question is, when you look for a rivalry like that, first of all, do you have a personality on your team like that? That's probably less prevalent today than it was, too.
Yeah.
And then who's the adversary? You know, who's the enemy? But I also think that any kind of good rivalry, if you've got two teams, you know, that are always fighting for something, that are playing at a high level, that's also a really good rivalry. You know, if the Titans and Colts had year after year of playing big time games, even though Ryan Porth would like to just discontinue the Colts from the Titans schedule.
Please.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that could be good. But yeah, it's hard to you can't manufacture that stuff, you know? You can't manufacture villains, especially. Ray Lewis was a great villain in the NFL.
He was, and I think those two really kind of embodied what the rivalry was between Steve McNair and Edgewood. I think back to the playoff game. I want to say it was the 03 season, and maybe the game itself was in 04.
Yep.
Where they were at Baltimore, and Eddie got hurt in that game. He hurt his shoulder, had to go off to the locker room. And the crowd, there's video of it on, like, the Titans season review video that they put out there back in the day. And, like, the crowd in Baltimore is just giving it to him when they're going back to the locker room because they think he's going to be done. And the Ravens are going to walk away and beat the Titans again. And he comes back out and plays basically with like a separated shoulder in that game and is running the ball. And there's that iconic play where he's cutting it outside to the left and he meets up with Ray Lewis and they just run into each other. And Eddie like literally picks Ray Lewis up off the ground and just steamrolls him into the ground. And they get up and start barking at each other. And I got to thinking, like, I saw a clip of that the other day. I was like, when's the last time something like that happened in any game in the NFL, much less like this rivalry game? It's different now. I'm not saying it's worse now. It's just the league is different.
Yeah.
That play to me, I mean, when you look back at Eddie George's career, that's one of the first plays that comes up is that collision with Ray Lewis.
It's an iconic moment
for
27. I mean, when you think back to the Derrick Henry stiff arm on Earl Thomas where he spun him around like a pretzel. Like, that wasn't a physical, like, beat you into the ground type of stiff arm like Eddie George was to Ray Lewis. Even though it was epic in its own right because Earl Thomas basically said before the game that they were going to shut down Henry and they weren't scared of him, and then he gets...
Looked great as a fullback on that play. Looked awesome.
And the best part of it is that he got stiff-armed between the numbers on the back of his jersey and not the front. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's still people who scream at each other and fight in this league. I mean, hey, Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate's a great rivalry night right now. You know, if they ever see each other again on the field. I mean, there's still stuff like that. I mean, I'm trying to think of what right now in the NFL would be. What would be the best? What's the best rivalry in the NFL in terms of? I think you have to have good teams. Like if either of those teams stunk back then, it wouldn't have been as interesting, right? And also, then you have to have personalities. Like what would be right now? I mean, I think over the years, I think of like Cowboys Redskins had some great stuff. I mean, they hated each other.
Steelers Ravens.
Here's one from the last 5 years that this year may not be the same. But it has been to that level is Seahawks Niners.
Yeah.
In the last 5 to 8 years with Richard Sherman.
Yeah. There you go. Richard Sherman made that, right?
Michael Crabtree.
I mean, Richard Sherman on that little tip in the NFC Championship game, like that, and just talking so much. Like, that's exactly it. But how many, you got to have a personality like that. You got to have a guy like that. I mean, the Patriots over the years, the Manning Brady thing was great.
Right.
But that wasn't like an overly physical,
right?
Like,
it was different.
Knock them out, knock them down, drag them out type of game.
I think Ravens Steelers is probably the Ravens are they do seem to. I mean, I think that's probably just kind of how they've been built over the years. They believe in that. They're physical, but I don't know who on the Ravens right now is who's the alpha on the Ravens.
It's a good question.
I mean, I think Calais Campbell, a new guy, is. He's a beast when he's in there. He's not playing right now.
But there's nobody like even in the same ilk as Ray Lewis right now.
Especially now that Earl Thomas is gone.
Right. I mean, not only from a player standpoint, because we all know how good Ray Lewis was as a player, but just like the leader, how outspoken he was, how emotional he played the game. Like, there's nobody close to that on the Ravens right now. And look, as great as Derrick Henry is, I don't think Derrick Henry is the same as Eddie George was from that standpoint either. Like, Eddie George was pretty out there in terms of wearing his emotions on his sleeve. Derek's not really like that.
No, not at all. Now,
I'm not saying that's bad, by the way. I mean, he's just not like that.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie George was probably one of the most outspoken, obvious, team leaders in the NFL when he was, right? I mean, it wasn't just as a Titans leader. I'd say in the NFL at the time, you didn't have too many guys, even back then. I think it was more back then than now. Screaming, getting his guys going on the sideline. I think he was right up there at the top.
And that's why when we were talking about the rivalry part of this last week when the Colts game came up, and I was going to save it to this week talking about the Ravens. I don't think any rivalry the Titans have ever had has been particularly close to the one they had with the Ravens. When you factor in the playoff meetings, how much those two teams hated each other. They were in the same division. The games were so physical. Like, I don't think any rivalry they've ever had is really compared to the Ravens. And I include the fans in that, too. I mean, the fans back in the day when it was the early 2000s and those two teams were going at it, they hated the Ravens. And Ravens fans hated the Titans. And it's not – I don't think we've seen anything quite like that around here since then. I mean, they don't like Jacksonville fans. They don't like Colts fans, but there was legitimate hatred between Ravens fans and Titans fans. I went to a Ravens-Titans game one time, and there was like six fights in the stands around me. It just, that doesn't happen anymore.
I think there were fights downtown
after
that playoff game in 08.
Yeah.
Or January of 09 at that point.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that Ravens fans did not like the Titans last January in Baltimore.
I bet not.
But that was more like a stadium, like that whole city was just like, oh, let's blow out the Titans and get on to the good stuff, Talk about a stunned
stadium. Take on
the
Chiefs.
So I wonder, for them maybe this week, for fans, and I'm sure for some of the Ravens, there's probably some extra juice thinking back to that because that was just taking a city and just.
Yeah.
For whatever, I'm sure it doesn't make it any better, that 2000 happened and 2008 happened, but. In terms of history of the franchises, that was some big-time revenge.
Well, it is interesting that the four times they've met in the playoffs, the road teams won every game. Every time. Baltimore's won both here. The Titans won both in Baltimore. It's kind of crazy when you think back on that series.
And at least, and certainly at least in three of those, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's all four, but the three of them were, it was a pretty significant upset.
Yeah.
The two here and then last year. I mean,
yeah, the
teams that were expected. Again, the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl in 2000.
Yeah, the
Ravens could have won the Super Bowl last year.
The game in Baltimore in 04, January of 04, I mean, that was a wild card weekend game.
Yeah.
So, didn't have the same
It wasn't quite the same thing. Neither of them.
The number one seed.
That was McNair's MVP year. Yeah.
Although, you could probably make an argument the playoff game in 08, even though the Titans were 13-3 and the one seed, those two teams were probably closer in terms of the actual talent on those two teams.
Agreed.
Versus the one in 2000 and the one last year.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Ravens were the best team in the entire league, and then the Titans just shut them up.
Yeah, like, the Titans have had a lot of losses in your in their history where you look back and you're like, man, what could have been? Nothing compares to the one in 2000. I mean, they win that game against the Ravens, they're going to win the Super Bowl that year.
Well, and I'll say this on the Ravens last year, too. I know until Lamar Jackson, like, wins a playoff game and all that stuff, people will say, well, it doesn't work, whatever. That team could have won it all last year. And the thing is, I do think there's some catching up to what they do now in the league. That's how it works. You know, people get better. They had a moment in time last year where, for the most part, people weren't caught up to them. And I think if they get that game the way they want it, they might go rip through the whole thing and win it all. They absolutely could have. They were that good. So they can have the same kind of regret. Now, it's maybe not the same. We know the Titans. We don't know. But the Titans would have blown out the freaking Giants in that Super Bowl. You know, in the 2000 season. Now, the Chiefs still might have beaten the Ravens last year, but they certainly had a great chance to win it all, and the Titans ripped it away from them.
When we come back, who needs this game more on Sunday, the Titans or the Ravens? Why one big name in ESPN's answer may not be what you think it is. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.